Track 18. Our second Past Lives character looks at Hudson's Norfolk journey. 2022 marks the centenary of the death of acclaimed naturalist and author William Henry Hudson. Connor Mark Jameson traces Hudson's path in Norfolk.
For some years now, I've been immersed in researching W.H. Hudson, a name that recurs in the literature of natural history, although the man himself remains mysterious and largely forgotten. Leafing through Hudson's surviving letters has helped me build a picture of the man, his milieu, and his passions. And one of these passions was Norfolk and its wildlife, and it's here that my life intersects with his, and I find it easiest to reimagine him. I found the first traces of his interest in this county in 1897, in a letter to Royal Society for the Protection of Birds founder Eliza Phillips. He describes having received a letter from a local man. He tells me that 10 marsh areas have been shot this summer, and that is one of the rare species we desire to preserve. Again, he implores me not to say that another specimen exists in Norfolk, since if its existence there became known, it will be immediately exterminated by collectors. What a state of things! Hudson makes a vow. Some day, if I live a little longer, another year or so, I may be able to strike a better delivered blow at these selfish wretches who are robbing the country of one of its best possessions. The letter gives a vivid sense not only of Hudson's mission, but also of his fragile heart. He lived much of his adult life with a profound sense of his own mortality. I am glad to hear that an effort will be made next year to get an extension of the close time in Norfolk. How the framers of the Bird Protection Order came to omit so necessary a thing, I cannot understand. Hudson visited Norfolk soon after, for a few days' ramble in that district, taking a boat to Yarmouth by sea, a 12-hour one-way voyage from the quay at London Bridge. He spent an afternoon at Breydon Water in the Broads with a friend, a poor naturalist, with a wife and 7 children. Breydon is today a nature reserve, but a century ago it was protected only by a watcher, trying to safeguard its rare nesting birds from the collectors. The rarer the bird, the greater its value stuffed and mounted, or displayed in a cabinet, in the case of eggs. With growing success as an author, Hudson became a more regular visitor in the Edwardian era, joining the crowds arriving by train at King's Lynn and Unstanton, and bringing his bicycle, or wheel, as he liked to call it. In August 1904, he walked with his wife Emily from Hunstanton to Thornham and back, finding shorebirds and lumps of newly exposed Neolithic timber on the beach. Back at their lodgings, he realized he had left his binocular on the cliff top. He consoled himself and Emily that he might not have much more need for it. He must really... Oh, damn. Edit there. In August 1904, he walked with his wife, Emily, from Hunstanton to Thornham and back, finding shorebirds and lumps of newly exposed Neolithic timber on the beach. Back at their lodgings, he realized he'd left his binocular on the cliff top. He consoled himself and Emily that he might not have much need for it any more. He really must have been feeling poorly, even by his standards. He was well enough to take a walk the following morning, though, to Ringstead Downs, today managed as a chalk grassland nature reserve by the Wildlife Trust. Seeking solitude, he describes looking for lodgings in Home Next the Sea. An ancient person who turned out to be the vicar came in and began to show me about. The vicar helped him find a room at Near Farm, a farmhouse in the village with green marshland at the back and a line of sandhills close to the sea half a mile away. I shall never forget the figure of Hudson alone on the barren saltings in the failing dusk, watching and listening, wrote the author Richard Curl. Hudson was famously reclusive and shy of high society, but was almost as interested in the lives and lore of local people as he was in wildlife. "An old woman I met yesterday gathering samphire interested me," he reported, "a great deal more than all the important people here." In November 1908, he was in Norfolk to hold communion with nature in the form of wild geese, newly arrived on our shores. And he returned in autumn 1910. On October the 3rd, he wrote, "It is wonderfully quiet here. No motor hoots, and no sound is heard except the prayerful crowing of the cock and the clanging of the geese as they come in of an afternoon." He spent long hours on the salt marshes. "Its fascination for me is its solitariness and the wild birds," he wrote. "I thought these things would help me in my present state of health and depression." Taking his bicycle on the train, he also explored Thetford, a decade before the extensive tree planting that followed the First World War. His destination was Norwich, while hoping to find and listen to woodlarks and stone curlews along the way. Hudson was a great champion of restoring Britain's lost birds, species that had been wiped out here by collectors, and Norfolk was the focal point for much of this, with species including the crane, bittern, marsh harrier, avocet, ruff, spoonbill and bustard, making attempts to recolonise, but usually doomed, unless carefully supervised. In the autumn of 1912, he lodged at Beresford House in Wells, putting the finishing touches to his book Adventures Among Birds, which is still in print and has some delightful sketches of Norfolk people and wildlife. When war came, Hudson's Norfolk pilgrimages ended. Despite his shyness, by the end of his life, Hudson was a household name and what we might today call a national treasure. Prime Minister Stanley Baldwin opened a nature sanctuary and monument to his memory in the middle of Hyde Park. The Norfolk Norwich Naturalist Society supplied seeds and cuttings of wild water plants for the rill in the sanctuary. Hudson spoke warmly of King's Lynn, which makes it an honoured place. He wasn't always fond of urban areas. The library was opened in 1905, and he must have seen it being built and visited thereafter. It's fitting, then, that a collection of Hudson's many works of fiction, as well as nature writing, should be lodged here in this centenary of his passing. An unschooled and self-taught man, he loved libraries and knew their value. The Norfolk Nature Reserves we enjoy today were just a developing concept in Hudson's day, but we owe their existence and the recent re-establishment of most of those lost birds to visionaries such as him.